As I mentioned when we started this morning, I am very happy, thrilled actually, to have Ijaz Sabir with us today. Mr. Sabir is an attorney in the area. I understand he just recently moved from another part of this area into Westchester here. He's involved in the Islamic Center up the road from us, is one of their speakers, their presenters. Also leads Friday prayer. Just want to mention a year or so ago, I had the honor of, we had an interfaith meeting at the center, and I had the honor of being invited to participate, to join the men of the assembly in their evening prayer. Ijaz will talk about it, but there the men pray in one room, women pray in the other, and it was really a beautiful experience to go through the evening prayer. The other little connection I have is many years ago, and again, it's one of those, I don't want to think how many years ago, I had the opportunity to travel in Turkey. And in Turkey, it is possible for non-Muslims to go into the mosques. You have the, you know, Hagia Sophia and the Blue Mosque, the tourist ones. I had an opportunity to go to another mosque. And I had what I consider one of the, it still affects me, most moving spiritual experiences standing in the mosque. I had a gentleman came up to talk to me about the mosque, because I was looking around. I did not speak German or Turkish. He didn't speak English or Spanish. But he told me all about the mosque, and it was one of those experiences that I knew exactly what he was saying. He left, and for me, all of a sudden, I was someplace else. It was truly someplace else for a short period of time. Very moving, deeply moving experience. Just bring that here this morning, just as a way of saying that it, to me, this has been this, the beauty of the Islamic religion, the serenity of the places of worship. All to me are very, very touching, very important, and I said so. Very, very thrilled to have Mr. Sabir here with us today. And I said afterwards, please stay afterwards, get the coffee, get some refreshments, come back and join us for a conversation to begin with. But I'm going to turn the podium over to Mr. Sabir.
I begin with the name of God Almighty, the most merciful, always caring. Give us wisdom, vision, and strength to be here. I thank you all, and I thank you, Reverend Bill and Malka Moran, for providing me this opportunity to stand in front of you and join this lovely morning. You probably figured it out by my accent that English is not my native language. Matter of fact, it's my fifth language. I'm still working on it. So I have to give you a little bit of background about myself so you can understand where I come from. The topic was given to me today, religion and the people. So before I talk about that one, I just want to tell you about myself. I was born and grew up in Kashmir. It's a disputed territory between India and Pakistan. At one point, I was dreaming to be the first person to aim for higher education in my family. And then my dad sponsored us, I have three siblings, older brother, younger brother, and younger sister. My dad been in this country since 1982. In today's world, you will consider him illegal immigrant, undocumented immigrant, because he crossed the border, he came in here. So when he sponsored us, three of us came in here. My dad used to work as a busboy in a restaurant. And he started from there. Eventually, at one point in New York City, he had five restaurants. He bought 38-unit apartment. So when we came in there, and my younger brother was going to school in Richmond, New York. Myself and my dad were working in the grocery store, and I didn't know much English. So dad said, you know what, you have to work in a grocery store and a restaurant for 1 year, learn English, have patience, interact with people, then you consider school. So think about one point, I was the youngest one in the family to graduate. That's what I was aiming. Now all of a sudden, I'm working in a grocery store, don't know much about English, people come, yell. I still remember somebody came to this grocery store and said, pass me Lucy. And I had no idea what he's saying. And he said, pass me Lucy. And then he used the language which I can't hear. So my dad said, he's asking for a loose cigarette. So I had no idea. I was like, okay, here it is. So from there, one day, we're working, and my younger brother walked in, all bleeding. And from the train, he came back, and we were shocked. What happened? He said, people used to pick on me, bully me, so I didn't want to tell you. But today, somebody beat me, and dad, if you really want me to study here, I can't study in this school. We have to move. So our dad made a decision to move in Pennsylvania. And downtown Philadelphia, on 42nd Street, there's a restaurant by the name Kebabish. Used to be American Diner. I'm talking about back in 96. Three of us came in here. We started working there. I used to be a cashier in front, receptionist. My older brother started working in the kitchen. And if you see, his arm is still burnt because he didn't know how to cook. So he picked up French fries from the freezer and dumped in the oil. So he learned his lesson. My younger brother was waiter. So that was family restaurant. So we did work. We got a bike. I started going to Drexel University, taking ESL classes, English as a second language. My older brother ended up in Wyden University, and now he's an accountant, been in practice for about 12 years. My younger brother ended up in Temple University, Dartmouth Hitchcock in New Hampshire, and now he's an invasive cardiologist and associate professor at Cooper University. And here I am in front of you. I did undergrad at Temple University and went to Michigan Law School. I did law school and JD in 2 years instead of 3 years. And I never recommend anybody do that because I walked in with the ponytail and got out like this. So I won't suggest that. So that's my background. And now I'm married happily. I have 3 children, 10, 8, and 7. Yes, I'm Indian. We have a lot of kids. So 2 of them are in gifted program in Donington School District. My wife is a dentist, she's practicing, and I'm happy, thank God, God has blessed me. This is my time now to come back and give back to community. One way I do that, I go to different churches and mosques and synagogues, and I offer to write a free will. I go and give seminar about what's your rights, a day in a law, what happened when you get up in the morning, till you come back and home, how many times you interact with the law, where you can be in trouble, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do. All these are pro bono works through my law firm, and we do that. And I got involved in my local mosque. There is no membership in our mosque per se that you have to be a member of this mosque. You can be a member of any mosque, you can walk in any mosque, and anytime, you can pray anytime, anywhere you want. Definitely, these mosques as church are donor-based, so it's better to have a membership so we can solicit, we can send an email, things like that. But I have honor to speak at 7 different institutions and give a sermon on Friday, like our Christian brothers here have sermon on Sunday, Jewish brothers have, sisters have sermon on Saturday, the Muslims have on Friday. And I am booked for the entire 52 Jummas, that's what we call gathering for entire years. I speak in Islamic Society of Lancaster, Islamic Society of Chester County, Islamic Society of Villanova, Islamic Society in Delaware, the University of Pennsylvania, Temple University. So I go around and give it's called khutbah speech. So that's my background. I born Muslim, grew up Muslim, I'm practicing Muslim, and I really, really am honored and thrilled to be here. I was talking to Bill, I'm sorry, I'm not going to try to attempt your last name, Mr. Zelensky. I'm sorry, but I'll call you Bill. So we were talking earlier, so I said, I need to know, because the fear of unknown is the most prevalent fear. So I had no idea. I go to talk to Interfaith this afternoon around 2 o'clock. There's a program called Walk to Walk, where college students get together and they work with different faith. So I'm a speaker there from 2 to 5. So there are Buddhists, there are Quaker, there are Jews, Muslim. non-believer, atheist, agnostic, so we're going to share the stage there. So I asked him, what about this church? Well, how do you practice? What is? I was asking him, should I take my hat off or not? These are the minor things, but we need to understand culture. We need to understand practice. Only way we can understand when we interact and when we ask questions, when we are open in our heart, when we don't have any ulterior motive, that's the only way we're going to learn. The moment we have something else, I know better than you, you know better than me, we all got a problem. The best thing that today I was thinking that we can affirm difference as we also affirm gift of faith. That's the brilliant thing. That's what we need to. With that background, I just want to talk about this the way I understood. I was talking to him earlier. Let me go back to that point. So I said, Unitarian. He said, well, Ijaz, we're a bit different. I said, okay, what is that supposed to mean? He said, Ijaz, about Islam? I said, well, we believe in one God. He said, well, we do believe in one God. I said, wait a second. I said, what do you think about other Christian denominations? Well, they don't consider us mainstream. I said, well, they don't consider us mainstream either, so I think we're halfway through. So we should have a follow-up meeting now. So I think I'm semi-Unitarian to begin with, too. So that was good start, good conversation. And I said, what about hell and heaven? He said, oh, our God is merciful. We don't think there is hell. I said, what? There are 114 chapters in Quran, the holy book. Every single chapter except one start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which means us begin with the name of God Almighty, who is most merciful, always caring. I said, well, we are 60% now. Let's meet. So that's, we need to talk. We need to understand from each other rather than media. Let me give you an example. It's a joke, but that gets message across. In New York City, a person was sitting in a park and minding his own business. And he saw a young girl sitting, and dog comes and attacks the girl. So he moves. It's a joke. So he takes the dogs off. In the process, dog dies. Girl is saved. Somebody across the street, a media person was watching, and comes to the girl, the fellow said, great job. You are brilliant hero, American hero. The guy said, I'm not American. So you're a brilliant New Yorker. He said, I'm not New Yorker. He said, who are you? He said, I'm from Saudi Arabia. The next morning, New York Times says, a jihadist start killing dogs in New York Park. That's the way we're learning about each other, which is very dangerous, very dangerous. There is a statistic out there that if you live up to 42 years of life, so you will run into a Muslim physician, a Muslim lawyer, a Muslim professional in this country, if you live up to 42 years. Let it be a gynecologist, let it be a dentist, my wife, let it be internal medicine, who is my sister-in-law, cardiologist, my brother. I'm not talking about my own family, but I'm saying you will run into one of your profession. Let me give you another example. Last year, when we had snow, the icy condition, my father and mother, they both, I'm blessed, they live with me. They went out, they didn't realize, because we had at that day a lot of accidents, 76 accidents, remember? They got out of the house and they had accident. My mom called me, said, we had an accident, can you come? And my mom does not speak English, not a single word, still. So I said, fine, I'm come. I didn't realize this icy condition. I got up, start driving, guess what? Halfway from my house, my block, I had an accident. I dislocated my hip. It was snow, it was icy condition. Water was gushing. When I fell down out of the car, I tried to get out. When I got out, I realized my leg is broken. I fell. So when I fell, somebody from somewhere said, don't move, I'm watching you, I'm coming. I had no idea who's that person. So I was going down the hill, a skid, and the car went like this way. So if you have more cars coming, they don't realize there is a person lying on the other side. And the water is coming down, and I'm like this, and water is going through my body. This person comes from nowhere and screams, don't move, I'm coming, I see you, don't move. He comes up to me, he said, what happened? I saw everything, what happened? Where do you feel pain? I said, my leg is still stuck in the drive, in the door. I can't move it, I think I broke my leg. He realized, I said, I broke my back. He kept me at one place. I begged him, said, call my wife. Because my mom and dad, I have no idea how bad their accident is. They don't know I'm dead or alive. And I have three children, and my wife is at home. Nobody else is there. I say, can you please call my wife and tell her, let parents know that I'm not going to make it because I'm in an accident. That person said, don't worry about phone, don't worry about parents. I said, no, they are in an accident. We call. Within a few minutes, there were roughly about 20 plus people with blankets, with quilts, pillows. And each time they put something underneath, it was soaked because it was coming. Water was gushing down. They take it again. They take it again. That person, about 29 minutes, left my feet at one place, right next to his face. He says, is that warm enough? For 29 minutes. Did I ask him, you're a Christian? Did he ask me, you're Muslim? Did he ask me what happened? Did he ask me, yo, you look like one of those terrorists? Did he? So religion is humanity. Religion is peace. Religion is love. Religion is freedom. Religion is dialogue. It's humanity at the end of the day. I didn't know that person's name. Later on, I found his name was Ross. I still don't know what's his religion. To be honest with you, I don't. Never asked. How many times you go up to say, what's your name? Oh, are you Muslim or Jewish? No, that does not come up. Generally, if you really trust somebody, really good friend, it's like maybe 7th, 8th, or 9th sentence. Buddy, you know what? Are you busy on this weekend? Yeah, I'm busy on this weekend. Why? Oh, I'm going to church, Mass, Senegal. So you have to build that trust first to ask that question, to get that far. But we make a judgment call. And that is only for God, not for us to make a judgment call. Who is right, who is not. That's up to the God. Now, with this background about talking about Islam, it is, how much time I have left? 10 more minutes? Well, I greet you all with a greeting of peace. Greeting of Jesus, peace be upon him. Recorded in Luke chapter 24, verse 36. Shalom. Greeting in Arabic for Muslim, Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. What I understood from this topic, religion and people, I perceive that it's talking about religion itself and the people, those who follow, and you people. What should we have interaction? How can we work together? How can we understand? That's what I understood from this topic. I hope I got it right. Salam. Islam. The root word is SLM, which means peace, surrender. It's a Semitic language word. Jerusalem, shalom in Hebrew, is a peace. Muslims attain peace by surrendering their will to the will of God. I'm standing here not to get money from you. I'm standing here not to get fame from, not to get plot, nothing. I'm just doing it here. I want to please my God that I have done something good. I made somebody happy. I made somebody laugh. I accepted somebody's invitation. I got to share something with them. I got to break bread with them. I got up here this morning. At least I had some exercise. I did it just for you, oh God. Help me, guide me. That's what it is. It's very simple. There are a lot of misconceptions about Islam. A lot. Not only from the non-believers, but from believers as well. This is one of the fastest growing religion, one of the most misconstrued religion by Muslims as well. There are a lot of misconceptions. Muslims emphasize Arabic language a lot. Why? Does anybody know why? Because the holy book, the Quran, is in Arabic. The last messenger, Muhammad, his language is Arabic. A lot of people think that this is Arab religion. How many of you think, what percentage of Muslims, there are 1.9 billion by the way, and they're growing very fast. How many percentage of Arabs are Muslim? How many percentage of Muslims are Arab? Can anybody take a guess? It's about 18%. About 18%. The rest is all over. There's not a single continent the Muslims are not there. Every country has their Muslim presence one way or another. So there are a lot of countries, a lot of continents. Muslims are all over the place. Misconception, 2 million Muslims are in Indonesia alone, which are more than all Arab countries combined. So Muslims are in Morocco. There are 57 countries that majority of population is Muslim. Islam is the universal religion. Every country has Muslim population. More Muslims are in China alone than Southern Baptists in the entire world. Islam is the second largest religion in Europe. England has more, the UK, has more Muslim than Methodist in the home of Henry John Wesley. Okay? Muslim came to this country 1717 when the slave came here. If you go back with the history, there were Muslim and those slaves in the slavery time. USA has more population Muslim than Episcopalian and Presbyterian combined. Okay? Soon Islam will be second largest religion in North America, surpassing the Judaism. United Nations study is done recently. By 2030, there will be every 1%, 1/3 of the world population will be Muslim. So this is a matter of our survival to know each other. You're going to travel abroad. He mentioned that. You need to know, you have to interact. The world is becoming a global village. You're sitting here, you're chatting with somebody in China, in Brazil, in India. You need to know the culture. You need to know their, you know, by the way, some people say, are you Islamic? Don't say that. Because that means is that you're implying, dude, you're going to blow up. So you need to know how to greet people. It's very simple. Assalamu alaikum. Peace. Salam. Simple. But are you Islamic? No. Nobody going to answer that. So, yo, dude, we have one Muslim guy in IT. You know, I've been asking for the past 3 months. Are you Islamic? He never answered, man. These guys are rude. No, because you're asking the wrong question. So, are you Muslim? Do you follow the faith of Islam? Christianity, Judaism, Jewish, Islam, Muslim. We need to know. We need to interact. We need to understand that. What do Muslims believe? Have 4 wives, beat your wives, put a rag on their head, pledge allegiance to Osama bin Laden, blow up, you know, fight for ISIS, jihad. That's what we hear every night. Terrorist. If you're between the age of 17 to 34, you must be terrorist. If you're a woman wearing scarf, you must be suppressed. Did anybody ask that woman? Did anybody ask the person? We need to know. We need to interact. This is your neighbors. I'm somebody's neighbor. So you're going to get to a hospital, you have a problem, you don't ask the doctor, and you see the name right there is Muhammad or Khan or Ali. You say, dude, I'm going to die today. Do you? I'm going to die. You don't think that way, do you? So when your life is in real danger, at that time, you trust Muslim. But when you are in harmony and peace and you're conscious, you don't realize it. We need to understand what's going on. There's a dichotomy. Somebody's playing with our head, which is that we are not focused. What our focus should be, harmony, peace, love, affection. We don't care what religion they believe. Well, at the end of the day, there was a German army fellow. He said, kill them all. He said, well, there are some of them are Christians, some of them are Russians. You know, let the guard sort them out. So I don't want to say that. What I want to say is that we are, at the end of the day, love, affection, care about each other. What religion is yours? Hey, that's between you and God. What do Muslims believe? Very simple 3 things. If you believe in those 3 things, which I already know, one you already believe, so you're 33% Muslim. So one of them is Muslim believe in one God, God Almighty. We call it God Almighty. We call Allah. Oh, Muslim believe in Allah. That's some different guy. They're Antichrist. Okay. They're devil, they're demon. Really? Allah is Arabic word for God Almighty. I read Bible this morning. John verse chapter 1, verse 1. There was no word. The word then was what? If the word is used, Kalmatullah. There was God, Allah. So this is the Arabic word for God. You want to call it Theo, you want to call it Allah, you want to call it Khuda, you want to call it Rab, you want to call it some supreme being up there. I don't understand. I don't know, but he is the one, the one. That's what Muslims believe. Simple. Second belief. The Muslims believe that yes, there is being up there high, a God, Allah. How do we know? Well, he sent people, chosen one, called prophets. So there were prophets starting from Adam, Jacob, Abraham, we have Enoch, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad being the last. Some of them were given book. Muslim believe. There is not a single Muslim on the planet who does not believe in Jesus Christ as Messiah, who does not believe in Bible. They have to. They have to. So Jesus, Bible came through Jesus. Torah through Moses. Psalms, David, Muslims believe that. And Quran through Muhammad, peace and blessing upon them all. We all treat them equal. For us, same way as Muhammad, same way as Jesus, same way as Adam, same way as everybody, same, they're all chosen by God. Muhammad is the last messenger. That's the second belief. What's the third belief? Well, the supreme being, he sent a messenger, I'm reading the book, then what? One day I will face him, whatever the supreme being is, the God Almighty. And he will ask me, what did I do, good or bad? And then I will be rewarded or I will be dealt with. Simple. That's what Islam is. So how many of you are Muslim? I'm just joking. So that's what it is. Nothing else. No less, no more. That simple is the religion of Islam. So if you believe in that, do you need to say it from your mouth? No. But Muslims say it's better to say it. Why? You always heard of the five pillars of Islam. One of the first pillars is what? Creed, that you must say. I bear witness there is no one worthy of worship except God Almighty, Muhammad his servant, and last messenger. Done. You're Muslim. You come to Jummah prayer. By the way, my Jummah prayer is the first Jummah, first of the month. Every month, first Jummah. The past one was mine. You're more than welcome to come. And my email is here. I will leave some business card, phone. Call me, email me. It's very simple, straightforward. We start at 1 o'clock. I give a sermon, lecture, and after that we pray. Done. We don't have program printed. We don't have formalities. You just come. There are a couple of things that you need to know, which Reverend Bill will tell you, that when you walk in the church, we pray like our Jewish friends. We don't have chairs. It's a carpet. We just bow down. I just need to leave your shoes outside. That's about it. So you're more than welcome to come on Friday. First Friday of every month, I'm here in Westchester. It's 1001 Parkstone Pike. Not that far from here. That's creed number one. In Arabic, we call Shahada. Brother, you want to take Shahada? Sister, you want to take Shahada? What do you mean? I mean, some loaded gun? No. That means you want to say there is no God, Muhammad is the last messenger. Bingo. You're Muslim. Part of 1.9 billion family. That simple. While I do that, is there any other ritual I have to do? It's called prayer. Yes. You believe in that God, you must praise him. He has given you everything. He can take everything. Remember, he was the supreme being. So what do I do then? Pray. How many times? How? As much as you can. Well, how do I know? Well, there are at least 5 times a day. How? When you get up in the morning, you start your day with God. When you go to bed nighttime, you finish your day with God. One, at when sun sets. Muslims, like Jewish friends, their day ends when sun sets. Remember, Sabbath happens when? Friday evening. So Muslim calendar is a lunar calendar. So it finishes when the sun sets, next day starts. When you get up in the morning, start your day. When you go to bed, you start finish your day. One is when sun sets, okay, the day is finished. And one is noon and afternoon. How do we pray? What do we pray? Muslim pray standing, facing toward Kaaba, which is a cube in Saudi Arabia. Why Saudi Arabia? Because the cube has oil? No. We don't care. What we care is that Muhammad prayed that way, peace be upon him. Ibrahim prayed like that, peace be upon him, blessing him. Ishmael, Isaac, they prayed like that. So we are praying like they did. And this is a holy place for us. What's inside the cube? Nothing. Gold, nothing. It's just the 3 pillars and then there's a cloth. Simple. So what do we do? How do we pray? We face toward that. Generally it's northeast from here in America. So you're facing that way and you say, Allahu Akbar. Whoa, everybody heard that one, right? So, but in a wrong context. Allahu Akbar, God is great. Okay. Oh God, Almighty, God of all universe, most merciful, most compassionate, honor of the day of judgment, I ask you alone for help. I worship you alone. Guide me to the path, the straight path, those whom you have blessed, not those whom you are unhappy. Amen. Allahu Akbar, God is great. God, you are the highest, you are the greatest. Allahu Akbar, God is great. Allahu Akbar.
God is great, God is great. God, forgive me.
Allahu Akbar, God, you are the greatest, you are the greatest.
Allahu Akbar, God, forgive me. God, forgive me.
You are the greatest. No, you can make whatever prayer you want to make. Oh, give my children blessing, or give me more wealth, give me harmony, peace. You are the greatest one. Peace. Peace. Done. That's it. That's called prayer, the five-time prayers, second part of the faith. Third is fasting. It's a lunar calendar. This year is going to start from June 7th, 30 days. You fast from dawn to dusk. No eating, no drinking, nothing at all. I was like, whoa, it's a good diet program. So you try that. Why? If you are able to do it physically, if you're above 12 years of age, you're an adult, you understand what's going on with your free will, you do it. You understand those who don't have food, those who don't have legacy of life, how do they go through? And ultimate thing is for us is what? Greed. I want more. I want more. You know, there are 462 people in the United States. If their wealth is distributed equally, there won't be a single poor person on entire planet. An entire planet, 7+ billion people. Imagine that. So the greed, the hunger, I want to feed myself. I need more. I need more. Hey, 30 days, go hungry. Feel for those who don't have that option at the end of the day to have food. You have a conviction, commitment for me, give it up for God. Don't do it. Let's see. You're not allowed to have intercourse. You're not allowed to have sex. You're not allowed to have drinking, enhancement, drug, nothing. Chill out, dude. Simple. For 30 days. Chill out. All right? And whoa, how do you do that? Majority of my non-Muslim friends, they said, I love Ramadan. So why? So at the end of day, man, you have awesome feast. So when are you guys going to have that? So, well, I have that luxury that I'm going to have feast at the end of day. I know that. But there are 36 million people in this country, or our country, they go to bed without food. In this country, when we have billions and trillions of dollars overseas. So we need to understand that. So we need to feel for that. So only way you feel when you go through the process. Fourth and fifth pillar, very simple. If you're wealthy and you have income sitting there somewhere for more than 1 year, you must give 2.5% to the poor people. Must. But that depends, remember, if you're rich. If you don't, you don't have to do it. And the fifth one is, again, based on your condition. If you're physical, able, and willing, once in your life you have to see the cube. Remember, physically you have to go for pilgrim to Mecca. So last two, generally people don't qualify. Because 2/3 of oil is among Muslim countries. The most poor people are among Muslim countries. You do the math, how it works. Because greed, because the leadership, whatever it is. So the point is that last two, general public does not apply. 2 minutes? Okay, thank you. So that's simple. That's what Islam is. Holy book, Quran. Quran has about 6,634 words. Okay, it's about one. Bible has about roughly 33,000. Bible has 1,189 chapter. Quran has only 114 chapter. There's one entire chapter dedicated to Jesus, peace be upon his mother, Mary, chapter number 19. Jesus, peace be upon him, is mentioned 24 times in Quran. Muhammad is mentioned only 4 times in Quran. Again, Jesus, peace be upon him, is like a messenger, like a prophet. Muslim do believe. I'm just going to read one last thing, and then we will close it. I want you to read carefully my broken English and answer that question. How would you characterize someone who believes in the literal verbal inspiration of Scripture, who hold that Jesus is God's virgin-born Messiah, that Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, bodily ascended into heaven, and will one day return to battle with the Antichrist, and in the end truly reign on earth? This person knows that Satan is alive and well on planet earth, that angels and demons are real force to be reckoned with, and that after death, everyone on earth will go to one of two places. And this individual does not believe in evolution, but believes that God created the world in 6 literal days. This person happened to be a teetotaler, is strongly pro-life, and is committed to traditional family values. Women are highly regarded in the faith community to which this person belongs, but they do not function as a preacher and leaders there. This person is also deeply patriotic, regards pacifism as a weakness, deplores the separation of church and state, and believes that government ideally should enforce God's will in every area of society. Do you consider this person Orthodox Christian? Do you think this person is Muslim? It is Muslim. very well. So thank you so much for your time. I have a lot to say, a lot to share, a lot to discuss, a lot to hear from you, what you think, what we can do as we work together in this fear-mongering, hatred, and this time, what should we do as a community to help each other? At the end of the day, we have one faith, which is humanity, freedom, and justice. Thank you so much for your time.